And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND, staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again this Tuesday. And folks, I'll tell you, oh my goodness, I just got off a conference call with Paul Kengor on our National Awakening conference call, and it was something else. Because you know what he did? He drew the line from Marxism, the Frankfurt School, I'm sure most of you have heard of it, the Frankfurt School of Thought that gave us all of this critical theory. You know, critical race theory is an outgrowth of a lot of critical theory. And critical theory basically says, it's really Marx's concept, everything must be torn down. Everything must be destroyed. Everything must be upended in order to build the communist utopia that we want, that he wanted, that so many airheads like Angela Davis, and he talked about Angela Davis and how she was one of the leaders of the Women's March, for example. She was one of the, I think, two top leaders of the Women's March. A confirmed communist who was honored by the Soviet Union. And that's what is leading the so-called Women's March. But I mean, he just drew a direct line. And by the way, folks, you go to our website, standamerica.us, you really don't want to miss that call. You can hear it. It's recorded for you. You go to our website. You'll see the link there. But I've got to have him on because, folks, it's something I know, you know, but he is a scholar who studied this stuff extensively and just laid it out in such a cogent fashion. And it goes back to this Frankfurt School. I believe the Frankfurt School was influenced by Antonio Gramsci and this idea that you don't necessarily need a violent revolution. You need a revolution, but the revolution can also come by subverting, overthrowing the cultural hegemony of a free society. And you take over that society by replacing those cultural values of freedom and individualism with collectivist values and values of collectivist responsibility. You turn it into a communist country by subverting it from within. And if that's not what the left has tried to do, colleges, universities, media, the Democrat Party, and on and on and on it goes, trying to convince us that America is essentially horrible and that somehow Marxism and socialism and communism would make us such a great society. And you know what, folks? I mean this. I will fight that mess until I breathe my last breath. But I trust that we will not have to fight it that long. I trust we are witnessing right now the awakening of the American people by the demonic wokeness of these leftists. The more woke they are, the more the American people wake up, because we just see how insane this so-called wokeness is. These people are stark raving mad, because that's what Marxism makes you. I mean, that's why 100 million people have lost their lives under communist regimes, because it turns people into monsters. It gives them absolute power over the lives of other people. And given the inherent sinfulness of mankind, which they also don't believe, they don't believe the systems make people bad. If they weren't for the bad system, they would just be good. But we know the heart of man is deceitfully wicked above everything. Who can know it? And you turn over, as Lord Acton said, absolute power, and guess what? It corrupts absolutely. And before you know it, you have people thinking, it's perfectly okay for me to kill people because, after all, I'm doing it for a higher good. So perfectly okay for me to slaughter people en masse because I'm doing it for a higher good. And they've got the nerve to point the finger at Christians when we know that the Word of God tells us, love our enemies, pray for those who despitefully use us. And we know that violence would only be a last resort in a self-defense situation where we're trying to defend ourselves, our lives, our families, our freedom. But we don't want to hurt people. We don't want to control people. We don't want to dictate to people's lives to them. We'd love to persuade people. They're the ones who want to do all that. And they got the nerve to point the finger at Christians like we're the problem. We're right-wing crazies. And I'll tell you, folks, it was a very, very powerful call. Well, look, let me just say this. Today is the anniversary of George Floyd's death, right? So what I'm about to say, I know, is inherently controversial. So just get ready for it. So just, you leftists who monitor my program, just hold on to your seat. Just get ready because, you know, your head's about to explode. Folks, the death of George Floyd was tragic. It was terrible. I know all of you, if you watch that video, you know that, it was sickening. It really was. It was sickening. I don't ascribe that to all police officers or even a small minority. I ascribe that to a very, very, very distinct fringe of people who might be police officers who get enamored of their own power and really don't belong on a police force. But the overwhelming, not just majority, I believe 99.999999% of police officers who are trying to do a decent job in an honorable way, putting their lives on the line every day for us. But what Chauvin did was disgusting. It was horrific. And George Floyd did not deserve to die that day. He did not deserve to die. He was not presenting the kind of danger that made what happened to him justifiable in any way, in my view. And a jury apparently agreed with me. Now, here again, there may be some issues there because there may have been some people on that jury who didn't belong on that jury. But nevertheless, I agreed with the jury's verdict. But folks, the idea of turning George Floyd into an icon, a hero, like he got up one day and decided he was going to go sacrifice his life to help the rest of us, is preposterous. And I'll tell you something. I mean, no disrespect to his family. I'm sure they loved him and they're mourning and all of that. But I find it equally disgusting to hold up as an icon for the people of America and for the children of America a guy who was a meth addict, a fentanyl addict, and got into trouble with the police because he was out passing counterfeit bills. Now, that's no hero of mine. And you know, Biden has got to have dementia when he's going to associate George Floyd with Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, Dr. King did give his life. He wasn't a perfect human being either. I don't worship him, but I do respect him. I respect what he did. I say, I respect the founding fathers. I respect people in history who have done significant things, even though I know every single one of them has been flawed. Because every single human being is, except the one, Jesus Christ, the only one who walked the earth in perfection. Nobody else has. But to try to make George Floyd the equivalent of Martin Luther King. He said George Floyd had more impact. That's what Biden said, had more impact on the world than Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. First of all, that's a big, fat, ugly lie. And the impact he had was riots and looting and destruction of property and mayhem and, yes, in some cases, even murder. Crime and murders have spiked since the George Floyd incident. Stand by. I'm just getting started.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. The Democratic Party has a God gap that will likely affect them in coming years. David French wrote about this in his recent book, but then decided to delete that chapter before it was published. Fortunately, he wrote about it earlier this month and joined me on radio to explain it. He began by reminding us how close the last presidential election was. Donald Trump's base shrank, and Joe Biden nearly lost anyway. Roughly 44,000 votes in three states separated Biden and Trump from a tie in the Electoral College. David French also set aside what has been called the wokeness problem in the Democratic Party. James Carville acknowledged in a recent interview that wokeness is a problem and everyone knows it. There is certainly a messaging problem, but the problem is deeper than that, which is related to religion. The Democratic Party is currently composed of the least religious people and the most religious people. Fewer than half of white Democrats describe themselves as Christians, and only 3 in 10 regularly attend religious services. More than 4 in 10 are religious nuns or religiously unaffiliated. Contrast that with black and Hispanic Democrats who describe themselves as Christians and attend religious services on a regular basis. Only 5% say they don't believe in God or a higher power, while 21% of white Democrats agree with that statement. The Democratic Party contains a disproportionate number of the most religious communities, black Americans, and one of the least religious communities, white progressives. While you could argue that Joe Biden has been able to bridge the God gap in this election, there is every reason to believe that future Democratic candidates, like those who ran in the 2020 primary, are going to be more secular in their tone and language. This poses a problem for the Democratic Party in the future. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you just heard by visiting pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it too. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by May 30th, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Brian Fisher here. One Republican will vote for the January 6th commission, you'll never guess. Fauci changes his mind again about the Wuhan lab. Guess what Hamas sympathizer shouted at a pro-Israel rally in Illinois? Are blue states or red states bringing jobs back faster? And what are Governor Cuomo's chances of re-election in New York? Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening. The Awakening. Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And while people are trying to turn George Floyd into a demigod, like he made some great sacrifice for us all, when what in fact happened was that he was high on meth and fentanyl, and he was passing counterfeit money, and he got into a problem, and one of the police officers involved happened to be, in my view, corrupt and willing to do whatever he felt like doing, and it ended up in the death of George Floyd, which is tragic and wrong and bad. And I've said that, in my view, Derek Chauvin is exactly where he belongs. He should be in prison. I believe that. But George Floyd doesn't belong up on some pedestal as if he did some heroic thing. He was a victim of his own profligacy. He was a victim of his own bad character. And I'm not trying to dump on the man or anything. In fact, more than dumping on him, I'm dumping on the idiots who are running around trying to turn the man into Mother Teresa. Like he, I mean, I can't believe this stuff, folks. I can't believe it. I can't believe that Joe Biden is that stupid that he's going to liken George Floyd to Martin Luther King? You know, here again, I can't plumb the depths of Joe Biden's mind. I have a feeling there's not too much depth there, but I'm not able to get inside the man's head. But one of two things is the case. Either he is that superficial, that stupid, that vacuous, that he just doesn't even understand just how absurd that comparison is. Or he understands what it takes to manipulate black people and others, and he will say the absurd, believing that it will move certain people who will see it as being somehow sensitive, compassionate, woke. You know, this reminds me of, a story I shared with you all where two guys, I think they were high school students, they go to break into somebody's home. They're climbing through the window. And it turns out that there's somebody in the home. They think it's empty, and they think, you know, they got free rein to go in and grab what they want. And as they're coming through the window, a young guy, also a high school student who's been taught to shoot, knows there's a gun in the home to defend the home, sees them coming through the window and opens fire. He shot one, he lived. He shot the other one, he died. The kid wasn't arrested, no charges brought. He was defending his home, and nobody, he could not possibly know that if they got inside, that they didn't plan, they wouldn't kill him, knowing now we've got a witness, we got to get rid of him. He couldn't know that. So he did, I think, the only thing you could do under those circumstances. He opened fire on them. They already had their heads or their legs inside the home. They were inside. They were coming in. They had broken through. So when the dust settled, they had a big movement at the high school to turn the kid who was robbing the house into a hero and to turn the kid who shot him into a villain. They put the kid, the kid breaking into somebody's house. They put his picture on the T-shirts, and now he was a victim and he should not be dead. And what is wrong with people? Have they lost their minds? And they treated the kid who shot him like he was some kind of villain. You shouldn't have shot him. You should have let him come in and let him shoot you. That would have been a decent thing to do. Let him come in and just rob you. I mean, maybe he might slit your throat, but hey, you know, let's not quibble. You know, give a brother a break. He's just breaking into your house after all. I mean, folks, it is insane. And is Joe Biden, is he that dumb or is he that venal? And I think it's venal. I think it's venality. I really don't think he's that dumb, although, you know, we may have a little dementia setting in, but I don't think he's that dumb. I think he's that venal. I think he's that manipulative, that sneaky, that conniving. I mean, he didn't get rich without a little bit of maneuvering. He hadn't built anything, he hadn't made anything, he hadn't invented anything, he hadn't created anything, he hadn't started any business. He's rich, though. How? How'd he get rich? He wasn't rich when he started out. Now he and his family are worth millions. How'd that happen? So he's not that dumb, but I think he is quite venal. So at any rate, I am disgusted by what Officer Derek Chauvin did, but I am not joining in the celebration of George Floyd like he's some kind of hero. Count me out. I'm not playing a part in that stupidity. Now, look, add to that situation, you've got, what's this story here? Oh, my goodness. Oh, Yes. This is it. Biden has also, I don't know whether he's ordered or permitted, embassies around the world to fly the Black Lives Matter flag. You might as well fly the hammer and the sickle. You might as well. Patrice Cullors said, we are trained Marxists. She said, we are well-versed in Marxist ideology. The Black Lives Matter flag represents Marxist leadership. So you just might just go ahead and fly the hammer and the sickle up there. Or put the communist Chinese flag up there. Just take the American flag down. Who needs that? When you can fly the flag of a bunch of communists. See, this is the twisted Orwellian thinking that has gripped some of these people. That's why I say, folks, I really believe there is a tsunami coming, because I just don't believe that the American people most are going to look at this and say, well, you know, we understand. I think the American people are looking and saying, would somebody call out a phalanx of psychiatrists for these nutty people? They've lost their minds. And while we want to be compassionate and give them the proper treatment, we certainly don't want them holding the levers of power because they're crazy. Now, for those of you who watch me online, you see I've got my new studio built behind me now. I've got a flag, an American flag, and proud to have it to my right behind me. Praise God. And I'm not flying any Black Lives Matter flag. That's just like Barack Obama. He wanted to fly the homosexual flag or fly that abomination over our embassies. In other words, just curse the whole country with that mess. Just curse the whole nation. Yeah, we just say... And then he lit up the White House, rainbow color. Just say, yeah, Lord, please, please see us like Sodom and Gomorrah. That's our aspiration. We want to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. We want to have all the perversion running rampant in our country, just like they did at Sodom and Gomorrah. You all remember that, right? The guys got together and were so filthy and nasty and depraved that they went and knocked on Lot's door and wanted to rape wanted to rape the angels that were in his house. They didn't know they were angels. They thought they were men. They wanted to rape the angels. Just bring them out here. We're going to have sex with them. A gang of them. The Bible says they were of all ages. So this was obviously something that they did. This wasn't brand new. This is something they did. And you've got leadership in this country working very hard to make us as close to Sodom and Gomorrah as we can get. Well, I got news for them. We're not having it. We are not having it. We're not buying into the racial propagandistic garbage that you're spewing. We're not buying into the sexual perversion that you're trying to push on our culture and on our children. We're not buying into this communist, Marxist, socialist nonsense that they're trying to pass off as social justice. No, we don't have any use for Angela Davis. We don't have any use for Patrice Cullors with her communist self. We don't have any use for the Black Lives Matter flag. We don't have any use for the so-called rainbow flag, which stole the sign that God gave us that he would never judge us again by floods and water, which is a symbol of Almighty God's covenant with mankind. Now they've stolen that and perverted that, and we're not bowing down to that thing either. I stand for one flag, the flag of the United States of America. And I am proud to fly the red, white, and blue. You can take the rest and fly it wherever you want, but don't fly it anywhere near me or on my property. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Air Force Sergeant Lee Kenny has a common military habit. According to the papers, he likes to collect souvenirs for his kids. Once he happened on two bazooka-type shells on the bomb range at the old Salina, Kansas Air Base. He took the shells to a weapons expert to be sure that they were safe. Well, after the expert gave him the go-ahead, said they were safe, harmless, he carried the shells home with him. Kenny's two boys at home, age 11 and 13, took a liking to the shells. They stayed around the house for about a year, and then one day the Kenny boys and some of the neighborhood children decided that they'd like to play soldier with the shells. Anybody who's ever been a young boy can recall what excitement it is to play soldier, especially if you had something related to the real soldier to play with. The story reminds me of the fact that some things which once appeared harmful are not considered so now. Today, there are only things which many people like to play around with. Right off the bat, I can think of alcohol. It used to be considered harmful by a great many folks. Now society treats it as it's rather harmless, and a great many folks have a lot of fun playing around with it. Then there's this thing of drugs. Many of us can remember when drugs were considered very dangerous to play around with. But a great number of folks, young and old alike, today have found that drugs aren't nearly as dangerous as we once thought they were, and a great number are having a ball playing around with them. Another thing which comes to mind while thinking along this line is our modern attitude towards sex. Some of us can remember when sex was considered a very wholesome and binding experience within the bonds of marriage. We knew also that beyond the bonds of marriage, sex could have some very dangerous consequences, or at least we thought so. But the modern-day advocates of sex have evidently proved us old fogies wrong, because everywhere one turns today, we are presented with a modern idea that sex is something to make a game of. I guess times and people change. Some things which at one time were dangerous have, over a period of time, lost their danger and have become things for us humans to fancy ourselves with. An old war shell designed to kill and destroy, over a period of time, had become a toy which little boys could play and have fun with. When I read the story about Sergeant Kenny's toy shells, I thought about all of that. Even the neighborhood kids were having great fun with those old shells. Jonathan and Timothy Kellogg, ages 11 and 9, and Donald Brown and David Hasten, ages 9 and 8, they were having the time of their life with those old shells, playing with them. They were, that is, until one of the shells exploded and killed all four boys. Experts have taught us to change our ideas on several things. Are experts ever wrong?
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Now, I want to get some of your calls in. I want to get some in this segment, too. The number is 888-589-8840. Again, that's 888-589-8840. Let me hit one other thing. And obviously, there are some related issues today. I mean, we got the anti-Semitism that is running rampant in the country. And by the way, Karl Marx was also a rabid anti-Semite and a rabid racist, too. And here again, you got black folks running around behind Karl Marx, but they want to tear down the statues of the founding fathers who bequeathed to all of us freedom. And they want a law to Karl Marx who would take every human being's freedom away if he could in order to build his utopia, you see. But let's exalt Karl Marx. Let's tear down the statue of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson because 200 years ago they owned slaves. These people are so silly and vacuous and just frankly just twisted and wicked in their thinking that it's hard to even fathom it. But so look, YouTube apparently didn't like some of the things I've been saying when I've been live streaming. I just found out, I didn't know this, that last year they cited me for spam, deceptive practices, and scams. And we're researching to find out what it was I did or said that they deemed to be spam or a deceptive practice or scam. Because folks, I don't scam people and I don't engage in deception. I mean, you all pretty much, you know, what you see is what you get. And my wife will tell you, yeah, pretty much so. Right. Sometimes to my detriment, but this is it. I don't play games. I don't try to deceive people. I don't, you know, I just can't do it. I can't do it as a Christian. I can't do it as a man. But somehow that's what they've accused me of. I didn't even see that. That didn't come up until this last time. So I'm suspended right now because of quote unquote medical misinformation. So we appealed it and they rejected the appeal. So I'm scheduled, I've gotten a week suspension. I'll be back on sometime this week, but they're watching my account now. You're being watched. Just be aware. You know, it's like, do they really expect anything to be different coming from me? It won't. Probably everything I've said today, if that were to end up on YouTube, they say, oh my goodness gracious, there he goes again. You know, we got to get rid of this guy. But look, they gave me 800 characters to respond in an appeal. Now, not 800 words, folks, 800 characters. That means 800 little letters. That's all you get. But I thought we provided a very cogent appeal, very simple, very straightforward, that we met the 800 characters that they asked us. I said about the YouTube video that they said violated their standards. I said, I spoke of my antibody test. I said that there are questions about the vaccines, that we need to have that debate. When I talked about the antibodies being effective for up to 8 months, I was quoting the National Institutes of Health. When I said it's possible that the vaccine can interfere with the body's natural immunity, I was quoting someone who works in the pharmaceutical industry, passing on some knowledge that is not being talked about in the media. I quoted Dr. Nicole Sapphire's question about why we are not talking about the natural immunity of those who have the antibodies. And since nothing I said in the broadcast in question is medical misinformation, I request to be reinstated. Appeal denied. Boom. So, you know, folks, we are dealing with totalitarianists. These people do not respect the rights of the American people, and they do not respect the intelligence of the American people to hear information and decide for themselves. Like good communists, they will decide for us. And, you know, I guess they would fit right in communist China, because in communist China, you can now own a business as long as you still understand that you're the slave of the Communist Party. Yeah, you can still have a business. You can still have a relative amount of freedom as long as they don't feel you need to be checked, because if you need to be checked, you might disappear. That's why I've said these folks, and by the way, I said Rand Paul, his son, Ron Paul's son, has now said, I'm not having the vaccine because I have the antibodies. He's a medical doctor. He is a medical doctor, folks. And you know what? He's now been threatened. His life is once again being threatened. When all the science says, if you've got the antibodies, you are immune from the disease. The National Institutes of Health says that. All they know is they don't know how long. And yet, there are people who think this man needs to be killed. A sitting U.S. senator needs to be killed because he said, I've got the antibodies. I'm not having the vaccine. I don't need it. So I said, he said, I'm not getting the vaccine. So folks, you are among the first to hear it, my audience here. I'm not getting the vaccine. Because I'm going to test for antibodies about every 6 months or so. And as long as I've got the antibodies, I don't need the vaccine. Why should I have it? I mean, that's science, folks. That is the science. But oh, no. See, that's what they tell you. But it's not really about science, is it? It's about control. The number is 888-589-8840. There's some other things we could bring up, but I tell you what, I think I'll leave that on the table for now and go to your calls. Let's go to Brandy in Iowa. Brandy, welcome.
Hello, how are you today?
I am blessed, Brandy. How are you?
I'm not bad. I just had a couple of questions for you. First of all, I apologize what happened with YouTube, but like you said, you, who are dealing
with. Well, that's kind of you. They're the ones who owe me the apology, but that's okay. So, yeah, what's on your mind, Brandy?
On Friday, there was a caller that had brought up some things about the medical marijuana, and or about the legalization of marijuana, whether it be medical or recreational, I guess. But
okay.
And I just I kind of got your opinion on it a little bit from that, but I just struggle with. I want to be a good Christian, but
right.
I do have medical issues, and I'll admit I have been using it, and what is your thoughts? I mean, can I still be a good Christian, or am I not? I mean, I struggle with that.
Well, Brandy, first of all, we pray for you. If you're having medical issues, we pray for you that the Lord God would heal you, because that's obviously always God's best for us to be healed by the power of God. Let me just say, Brandy, I don't have any moral objection whatsoever to anybody taking any medication that helps them. Now, I am told that the whatever that chemical is in marijuana, THC. Thank you, THC. Actually helps in inhibiting the growth of cancer cells, helps with pain. I don't see that as any different than taking an opioid medication. If it's going to help someone, I am completely and totally open to that. I really am. I don't see an issue. People abuse over-the-counter. They abuse prescribed medications. Obviously, people can abuse anything. But if it's really helping someone medically, I don't think there's any moral issue there. I don't think God is angry with you about it or anything like that. I'm talking strictly when I voice my objections about the direction in which things are going with marijuana. I'm talking strictly about recreational marijuana, people using marijuana to get high. I think that's a problem that our culture should never, ever encourage. Okay. So, Brandy, we pray for you, and whatever gives you some comfort and helps you with your medical problems, I am completely in favor of it, but it's not important that I'm in favor of it. It's that God is not angry with you about it if you're using it sincerely to try to help you with your medical problems. But I will say this, saints of God, Jesus said, by his stripes we were healed, and we've got to always be striving for that. And that's, I'm not just pointing the finger at Brandy. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody. I'm pointing the finger at me, because the same, I told you all the story about my tumor and how I had to go through all kinds of things until I finally said, well, now, Lord, now, wait a minute. you and I have got to get together on this, but I'd already had an operation. I'd already had some chemotherapy. And when it just seemed like it was getting to a point where the operation that they were planning for me would kill me, I finally said, now, Lord, You didn't create me for this. This is not my lot in life. This is not you. This is the devil. Lord, I'm believing you for my healing. And folks, the moment I got serious about that, I mean, just dug in my heels, that whole thing began to turn around. And in a matter of a few months, the tumor was completely and miraculously gone. Back in a moment.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training. Here's another of our core values. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager. Thank you for standing with AFA as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
There's something in praying together that is a gentle accountability that keeps you on course with each other.
This is Focus on the Family Minute. Dr. David Stoop recalling how praying with his wife kept them connected even when it was hard to pray.
We've had a fight in the evening, and we pray at night when we go to bed, and she might come to bed and say, "Are you going to pray?" And I say, "Nope," because I'm still mad. She says, "Well, I am." And she never, you never pray your partner into shame. She would pray. By the time she was done praying, my heart had softened and I prayed, you know. And so there was that gentle accountability that regardless of what was going on, if we couldn't pray together, we still tried, and we still did usually.
You'll hear more from Dr. Stoop at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. I want to get as many calls as I can, so let's get right to it. You've been waiting very patiently. Roy in Kansas, welcome. Roy, you there? I hear an echo in the background, Roy. Okay, make sure you turn down your radio.
Yes, sir. Actually, I'm not near my radio at this point.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that was us, but go right ahead, Roy. You're on.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, Bishop. Well, I certainly appreciate your program and what your stand and everything. And I'm 61 years old, so you're my older brother in the Lord.
Okay.
Yes, sir. But Bishop, I've been preaching for over 35 years. This is my second chance of opportunity to be able to call in. And so, Bishop, with this George Floyd thing, and I'm just going to say it real quick because I don't want to type, but I believe, Bishop, what we need to do as people in general, but black folks, I really believe, well, listen to the word of God, and we need to get out of this black culture mindset and get into the mind of Christ. George Floyd, as Bible tells us, we will reap what we sow, and be assured our sins will find us out. Anyone. So what the police officer did, I agree to, may have been a little overboard. I don't know the laws there in wherever, Minnesota, wherever. Yeah. But we will reap what we sow. And if we continue to push this black thing and look what they did to the black man, if you are a criminal and you go out doing criminal stuff, my dad always taught me, Roy, something bad might happen to you, whether you armed or unarmed. And so I believe the Bible, and if we stop preaching black culture, any culture really, and start living for the word of God and doing what God has called us to do, then we will find peace and security in the word of God.
Amen. Roy, you said it, brother. We need a biblical worldview, not a black worldview. So thank you for the call, Roy. Absolutely true. Now, look, a jury did find him guilty of having committed a crime of manslaughter I don't know whether there'll be an appeal. And it's said that one juror hid a bias, but I think a judge has already declared, one judge has already said he didn't think that that significantly affected the outcome of the trial, or that that affected the outcome of the trial in any way. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I look, what can I say? I'm in complete agreement with you. You do reap what you sow. And when you put yourself in the hands of the devil, he does not play fair. Period. He does not play fair. He's going to get you any way he can. He wants to get you even if you don't put yourself in his hands. He wants to get you in his hands. But if you put yourself in his hands, oh my goodness. Don't expect good things to come of that. And that's what we need to get across to these young people. Don't put yourself into the clutches of the criminal justice system, because you need to be out doing something positive and productive with your life. Thank you for the call, my brother. Let's go to William in Texas. William, welcome.
Hello?
Yes, William, you are on.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. I've been enjoying your program so much. God bless
Thank you,
doctor, and God continue to bless you, minister. I had a comment about communists. I'm born in Colombia, South America. And in the 70s, I remember I was a kid in the 70s, 70, 75, something around that. The guerrillas in Colombia, they used to kidnap airplanes, Colombian airlines and take them to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
People forget about this. And they took a lot of money. They support. They're trying to get money to support their movement around, the Cuban communist Cuba
right.
and Colombia. As you know, they're spreading in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Bolivia, and other countries in South and Latin America. I say the Cuba. The communists in Cuba is a cancer. It is a cancer. The unfortunately, this cancer is making metastasis. And it's not going to affect the United States also, because we have to be careful and watch out. But the communists in here, they want to destroy everybody. They don't want democracy. They want the police. Yeah, if you hear the news, what is happening in Colombia right now, they are against this government who has been elected democracy, and they are against this government, and they are against the police.
I appreciate everything you said. I've got to cut it off there because I want to get some of these other callers in, and we're coming to the end of the program. But you are right. It is metastasizing. It has entered our country. You know, in fact, I didn't know this, but John Brennan, who's former head of the CIA, I said he voted for Gus Hall for president. I didn't know that he also voted for Angela Davis, who is a confirmed communist. He's the former head of the CIA, and I've never heard him renounce communism or say anything bad against communism. So for all I know, he may still be a communist and has infiltrated our entire government appointed by President Barack Obama, who some could argue at least de facto, if not de jure, is himself a communist. He's certainly a far leftist. But even now, there are people who are making him look like a moderate. He's being made to look like a moderate communist. Let's put it that way. Let's go to Dan in Oklahoma. Dan, welcome.
Oh, thanks, Bishop, for taking my call. A good program as always.
Thank you.
I believe that if many of our conservative commentators and talk show hosts like yourself keep putting this out there, this message to these radical groups, even these radical liberal politicians, when are they going to, much like you just said about Brennan, when are they going to start publicly condemning the killing of innocent people in these communist countries, you know, gulags and these political dissenters, because they speak out against communism? When is BLM and Antifa, and again, many of these radical liberal politicians, let's ask them, we want you to condemn what they do in China, the genocide, and killing millions of innocent people, putting them in prisons and harvesting their organs even, for heaven's sake. Yeah. We want to hear all of you condemn that. We're still waiting.
Yeah, well, you're going to be waiting a long time, my friend, because A, they'll say, oh, that's, we can't do that, that'd be racist. And B, they're communists themselves. They're not going to do anything to condemn other communists. Dan, thank you so much for the call. Let's see. Let's get to Alex in Texas. Alex, welcome.
Yes. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I have a question, Mr. Jackson.
Sure.
Okay, now, I'm a Christian. I try not to judge anybody. But at the same time, I hear you talking about President Barack Obama and Mr. Biden. Now, Donald Trump took a photo op, and he had the Bible upside down and backwards. And he couldn't even quote a scripture out the Bible. So yeah. Is he a Christian?
Well, Alex, I have many Christian friends who I know are Christians who know him, and they believe he is. I don't know him personally, so I can't vouch for him personally. But I will say this. Those people that you mentioned, Biden and Barack Obama, both support the unfettered slaughter of unborn babies, including Barack Obama, arguing that if a child is born alive, inadvertently, you can still let it die. Now, Donald Trump defended the lives of unborn children. So you can talk to me about having a Bible upside down or not being able to quote scripture. I'll tell you what, I would much rather hear the sermon that you preach with your behavior than the sermon that you preach with your mouth. So you want to put him up against those two guys? You want to put him up against Mother Teresa? You want to put him up against, you know, Billy Graham? Okay, all right, he's not going to come up very well maybe between, you know, among folks like that. But you want to put him up against Barack Obama and Joe Biden? Oh, my goodness. Look, there are Catholic bishops who don't even want Joe Biden to have communion, they say, because he's so in violation of even Catholic teaching. So I'll leave that one to you, my friend. Let me see if I can get squeeze one more in here quickly. Let's go to Jeff in Georgia. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, is this back?
You're on, Jeff. Yes.
Hey, Bishop, I just heard where you had mentioned that you were not going to take the vaccine as long as you had the antibodies.
That's correct.
Are you going to consider taking it if you lose the antibodies?
You know what? That's a decision I will make when the time comes, because by that time, my guess is by that time, nobody will even be talking about COVID, because I think that these antibodies are going to be with us long term. So, you know, I'll make that decision when the time comes. But right now, I don't see the need. I've got immunity based on my own body's immune system. So, OK, so that does that answer your question? Did you have a follow up to that?
I did have a follow up. Opposition to the vaccine is that it's not really a vaccine, it's gene therapy. And it is experimental.
Oh, gene therapy. Oh, okay. That's a new one. I hadn't heard that one. It's gene therapy.
Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Listen, we're at the end of the program. I don't mean to cut you off because you said that the vaccine is gene therapy. I'm willing to debate all issues, but as you can hear, the music in this case is telling me we can't go on with that discussion. But thank you so much for the call. Hey, look, I've told you all, I'm not in principle against the vaccine. I'd hear a lot of arguments against it, but I think those people who choose to get it, that's what freedom is all about. Let them do it. And those people who don't want to do it, don't force them to do it. I've now decided I'm not going to do it because I've got the antibodies. So my attitude is, government, leave me alone. Hey, that's going to do it for today, folks. Thanks for all the calls. Thanks for your prayers and support, not only of my program, but of our network, American Family Radio. In the meantime, remember that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.